This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
We're about to listen to the Dr. Dahlia Show. Sassy, stimulating medical talk radio. Any medical advice Dr. Dahlia Wax gives on her show should not be substituted for an actual visit to your medical provider. And now, here's Dr. Dahlia.
Doctor, give me the news. I got a bad case of loving you.
All right, guys, we are back in Dr. Dahlia Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877 DOCDALI. We really do appreciate you guys calling. We will take your questions, your calls, your comments at 1-877-DOC-DAHLIA, 1-877-DOCDALI, or on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia, or on Facebook at The Dr. Dahlia Show. All right, so there was a lot of back and forth last week with Senator Rand Paul and Fauci, Dr. Fauci, when it came to the NIH funding and transparency about it and our role in the COVID pandemic, China's role in the COVID pandemic. And so there, Dr. Fauci had defended our funding through the NIH of research in China. And a question that many people have, not only in America, but also in research, is if China did leak this, or if there was any malicious intent, do we still work with them? And so we spoke about this before, and I've asked Dr. Fauci to come on the show, and you know, he's a busy man, so we're probably not going to get him anytime soon. But the issue that I believe happens in the research world is it's one of those things of keep your friends close and your enemies closer. One of the reasons why Moderna was able to, within 42 days, have a vaccine available for SARS-CoV-2 was because of a shared database, or us having either current knowledge of SARS, the virus that was, according to Singapore, leaked back in 2002, that caused the 2002-2003 SARS outbreak. And then there was another issue in the lab in 2004 that killed a couple people in China in the lab. Because for some reason, China has a real issue when it comes to leaks and people getting, you know, sick from labs. Or maybe it's just it comes out into the open there and we don't really hear about it when it happens any other place. But in America, if I was, let's say, the president, okay, with my medical background and my scientific background, it's not too limited. Now that I take a look at it, I go, I'm not as limited as I thought I was. I would want to know every single thing that was being studied. I would want to know anything that could be a potential threat to America, especially from the bioweapon standpoint. I don't really get cyber. I don't get how computers work. I don't know how a television works. So I'd have somebody else on that case. All right, I would have the military people on the military. Those people in the Pentagon, those generals, those that have served our military, you know, have been on the ground, those people are the ones that I will have help steer me from a military standpoint. But from a bioweapon, I would be very involved. And I would want to know every single thing that's out there. I would also want to know everything I could about the CRISPR technology and all the means that we have in terms of manipulating genetics, which is a frightful thought that we as humans have been able to be able to do that, and we have that power. And then I would want to know what other countries were doing. Now, I don't know if we would need a bunch of 007s. I don't know. I'd have to be very careful because the 007s are pretty sexy. So I couldn't, you know, have too many meetings with them because I'd be like, hmm. But still, I got to still concentrate on the president. But I would want to know what these other countries were doing. And then I would want to make sure that when we did have that knowledge, we would have our scientists have antidotes ready or vaccines ready, or we would have duplicates. Now, I have always been friends with people who were jerks to me, who tried to screw me over. There's a lot of people out there that are absolute jerks. And I won't be enemies with them, because again, you keep your friends closer, your enemies closer. So now some of my friends are like, oh my gosh, so am I your enemy? No, you're my friend. Trust me, you're my friend. But there's a couple of people out there, they have absolutely no idea that I know they're evil. And I hang with them. Because again, I would rather have that access. So it's no surprise that we have collaborations with scientists in all these countries. Now, if this SARS-CoV-2 was a manipulation, a deliberate leak, I mean, we should be really considering huge actions and consequences. But if, let's say, we're working with a country and they're like, hey guys, you know, we have smallpox here and we think that, you know, terrorist group is accessing it and this, you know, I get why we would collaborate. A lot of times our collaborations also are diplomatic efforts. It's really hard to go to war with somebody who, while you guys are both working together on a cure for cancer, you know, so people working together, you know, and these collaborative efforts show that you could be enemies, but you could still work together. The problem is when all of this was going down, did America, even though with all our collaborations and all the money we were giving to China, did we, when this went down, have access? Were we able to use our card key and just swipe the door and go in and go, guys, what the heck's going on here? I don't think so. So our spending, okay, we need to get our return of investment. If we are going to collaborate on a project, then that project has full transparency and we have as much access as we want. The second China or Russia or any country we're collaborating with says, no, just give us the money. We got this. That's a bad deal. That's a bad deal. Because the only reason why we're giving the money is to have that access. So I wouldn't be surprised if America still worked with China, but I hope somebody has a brain and is making sure that the rules, right, and the stipulations on that funding allow us to, you know, I get all the data we need. My guess is that won't happen, and if that doesn't happen, then we give them the finger. 1-877-DOC-DALIA, don't go away.
Hey guys, Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
As a bald man, on a per follicle basis, haircuts usually aren't a great value to me. But at Supercuts, I can have an experienced stylist recommend the perfect cut for an affordable price, even if my options are limited. And while my hair-to-dollar ratio is good, yours is off the charts. Because Supercuts won't just cut your hair. They'll obsess over it until you look amazing, then finish with a hot towel refresher to top it all off. And from my personal bald perspective, that's what I call hair rich. Don't take your hair for granted. Take it to Supercuts.
Hey everybody, if you've ever thought about heirloom beans as a storable survival food, I've got great news. In fact, I'll bet it's the best news you've heard in a while. Here's the thing, we've just received a fresh batch of gourmet heirloom beans, survival soup beans. These beans are gorgeous, highly nutritious, and above all, with no hesitation whatsoever, the best tasting beans in the entire world. The best part? We've dropped the price by 33% this week for listeners who know higher food prices are coming and want an inflation hedge you can actually eat if you want to. Gets even better. With your permission, and with the high regard for your health and well-being, I also want to send you 2 pounds of what we think is the single most underrated superfood in the world, period. Go to soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com, and discover the real reason we're giving this unusual superfood away. At soupbeansurvival.com, that's soupbeansurvival.com.
If you're trying to quit drinking or doing too many drugs, listen to me. You don't know me and we'll never meet. I had a problem like you once. I drank and used to party a little too much till it got out of control and almost ruined my life. I realized I needed help to fix my problem before it totally destroyed me. If you've tried to fix your drinking and drug problem and you know you can't do it alone, you need to call the National Treatment Advisors. They'll immerse you into a 30-day program to replace your old habits with new habits and totally change your life. And if you have PPO private health insurance, the entire program may be covered. Fix your problem right now before it gets any worse. Get clean. Call now and learn more. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252. 800-296-1252.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
Tahibo Tea Club's original Pure Pau de Arco Super Tea comes from the only tree in the world that fungus doesn't grow on. As a result, it naturally has antifungal, anti-infection, antiviral, antibacterial, anti-inflammation, and anti-parasite properties. So the tea is great for healthy people because it helps build the immune system, and it can truly be miraculous for someone fighting a potentially life-threatening disease due to an infection, diabetes, or cancer. A one-pound package of tea is $34.95 plus shipping. To order, please visit shopsupertea.com. That's shop, S-H-O-P, super, S-U-P-E-R, T-T-E-A, .com. So the complete website is shopsupertea.com or call us at 818-984-6100 Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 California time. That's shopsupertea.com at 818-984-6100.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOCDALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Big thanks to Genesis Communications Network for making the show happen. Big thanks to Daniel who's working the dials. And big thanks to you all for tuning in. We really do appreciate it. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, The Dr. Dahlia Show. So a medical student at Midwestern University, Glendale, I guess they have two campuses, one in Glendale, Arizona, and one in Chicago, Illinois, osteopathic medical school. There was a student who was arrested last month because allegedly she threatened to kill students, threatened to kill faculty, threatened to kill students' families, and even bombed the school. And it took multiple email messages until finally, I guess, they figured out it was her and arrested her. She is Mona Asadi. I think she was 29 years old at the time. And she has been arrested. She was arrested in June. And apparently 2 months prior, back in April, the school's dean was on it, reported her to the Glendale police. because there was a text. And apparently she had sent a text, allegedly, describing how she would bomb the school with students and faculty present. Now, she denied sending the text, so there was a police report, but I don't know if anything happened. Then a faculty member started to see that there was some more anonymous texts being sent. See, I think that's strange when, because I mean, if I send a text, it says Dahlia on it. So I wonder how people send a text that's anonymous. But anyway, she was able, I guess, to manipulate an email system. So she sent a professor a message saying that she wanted to hurt fellow students. Then there was a mass email to 200 students listing specific ones she wanted to kill. And then there were more messages saying she wanted to get the families of the students. So by June 16th, she was arrested, faces four felony charges, including computer tampering by using a computer in a course of conduct that threatened, terrorized, or tormented specific individuals. So interesting, four felony charges based on the computer use. So I guess if you didn't use the computer, and then it would probably be like a verbal. I don't know what the charge would be. But very scary stuff that somebody who was allegedly, I mean, who, and this is all alleged, okay? You know, she's innocent, so proven guilty. But it's scary to think that somebody who is dedicating their life to medicine, and osteopathic doctors, allopathic doctors, I mean, these people bust their butts. They lose their youth and sacrifice their youth in order to become doctors and healthcare providers and put themselves on the line. Just hard to imagine that somebody could do that and then want to turn around and hurt others. Sadly, though, and I've been working with students ever since I graduated myself, the rates of mental illness and the rates of depression, anxiety, hatred are a lot higher than you think. And so, and I've worked with students from multiple schools. There's a lot of things that unfortunately are kind of the ingredients that can build up the perfect soup or perfect storm for somebody having a breakdown. And I see this all the time. So what's happening in these school settings, even residencies? Remember we talked about residents killing themselves? Three? Out of this was in New York. It was the New York's Lincoln Medical Center. Three suicides in an internal medicine residency group that, you know, in a matter of months. So, you know, one big thing that I think is a huge, huge problem is we have too many medical students and not enough residency positions. So in this last match, I believe thousands of students who graduated had no residency. So there was like 35,000 residency spots for 42-some thousand students, and not only American, but overseas students. If you're a student and you're going through tens of thousands of dollars of education in all these years just to go to a school and then not get a position because there's no positions for you, you have an MD or a DO in your pocket, but you can't practice. You can't practice anywhere without a residency. So it's almost useless. I mean, you could do research, but so we keep building more medical schools. Now, trust me, there's some medical schools out there that probably need to be revamped, and I'm really excited about some of the new ones, but you can build medical schools as the day is long. Where's the residencies? So that's a huge problem. The second thing is if you've ever, you know, done a tour of a job or, you know, done a tour of a school, I mean, they have the nicest person give the tour. They show you the coolest area. It's all mapped out. You know, I remember taking a tour of a city and they kept driving me up this one street. I'm like, why are we always on this one street? You know, what are you not showing me? So, you know, you always get the prettiest look, you know, of that institution or that corporation or that school. But medical students and osteopathic students tell me that when they go through these tours and then they start the classes and they meet the faculty, it's like night and day. The tours make it seem like we're there for you. Anything you need, we're here for you. You know, we will support you and nurture you your whole way. And the reality is there's just not enough nurturers. or there are faculty, and the faculty are kind of busy teaching. You know, they're really not, you know, equipped to handhold. And school psychologists, there's just not enough of them. So all of a sudden, the students start to struggle. So they go in going, oh, there's an open door policy, yay. Or I'll be able to talk to so-and-so. And they find out that it's not, you know. I've been very fortunate through the decades of time I've been working with students, to be able to have a cell phone and have the time to be able to be there for people to talk to and cry. And you will have bad days. I know people say, well, you know what, then you're not cut out for medical school. If you're going to cry, you're not cut out. No. If you don't cry during medical school, that's not normal. You're going to see death. You're going to feel rejection. You're going to feel failure. That's the part of the learning process. Anybody who goes to medical school saying it was awesome was lying. Yet these students don't know that. So when students would come into my office saying, look, how are you? I'm like, I'm fine. How are you? They're like, good. And I go, you're kind of hating medical school, huh? They're like, yeah. Am I allowed to say that? I go, oh, I hated it. I mean school's not fun. I mean, it's not easy. I mean, I don't know anybody who loved school. And once students realize that it is okay to dislike, you know, part of that path, maybe it allows them to actually talk about it. Another problem is these students fear they have to hide it. I felt like I had to hide any sort of critique I had of any of the schooling or hospitals I was at because I felt I was going to get, you know, kicked out. When I was assaulted, there was no way I was going to say anything. No way. Because I didn't want to get kicked out. So that's not... Now, schools are doing better. Corporations are doing better. Well, look, you could talk to us. You can... But the truth of the matter is it's one of those things where people feel like there could still be that stigma. Or there could still be consequences. And so many students feel like everybody says, I'm there for you. I'm there to help you. You know, if you need anything, and then they don't get responded to for months. These people are struggling. Then look at what they put into it. To become a doctor, you need to put in tens of thousands of dollars and tens of thousands of hours, weeks, days, years of your life. And then you get there, and you get yelled at, or you get treated like crap by a professor or attending. Or you are studying these things and you're like, I don't think I like it. You know, I want it to be like on Scrubs, Turk and JD. But I'm not, this isn't what I thought it was going to be. Well, again, where's the faculty? Where's the people that could sit there and talk to them and say, look, you know, what you're going through might be normal. Instead, they brew and they go, oh my God, I just spent my parents' life savings. Or I'm now going to be $300,000 to $400,000 in debt. Or I just lost any chance of going back to college and getting a new degree. And they think that they're stuck. And then if they also feel that if they do bring it up, they've seen other classmates fail and get kicked out of school. They don't want to get kicked out of school. Another big mistake I think a lot of students make or residents make is they start dating each other. It's a small community. I learned very, very early on when I was in medical school, the dean told us our first day, do not date anybody in class. Because there was only 53 people of us. That's a very small community. So that if anything happened, where do you hide? How do you go outside the circle? Everybody's going to know. And so I think there's a lot of embarrassment. I think a lot of, and I'm not saying, I don't know what happened with this girl in Glendale, allegedly, and why she chose to do that. But what I'm saying is I think there's got to be a lot of research. And we need to have a lot more support for these students, because not only do the students need it and the faculty need it, but the patients. A patient needs a medical provider that does not struggle and you know, have issues that were untreated and unaddressed. 1-877-DOC-DELI.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system.
colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, AmeriCare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nano colloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
USA Radio News with Tim Berg.
President Biden is delivering remarks to note the 31st anniversary of the Americans with Disabilities Act. The president saying that he's calling on Congress to make new laws that ensure that people with disabilities get paid more than minimum wage.
I've also called on Congress to eliminate the discriminatory sub-minimum wage provisions that too often keep people with disabilities from getting good jobs.
In St. Louis, Missouri, a mask mandate is going into effect today, in which everyone 5 and older must wear a mask in indoor public places as well as public transportation, regardless of vaccination status. Missouri Attorney General Eric Schmidt tells Fox News the mask mandate is a violation of people's freedom.
It's a complete failure. It's about control, and people have had enough, and I'm going to stick up for the people in my state who've had enough, and that's why we're going to file lawsuits.
USA Radio News. The price of gasoline decreased almost 3 cents a gallon last week for a national average of $3.14. From the USA Radio News Texas Bureau, John Clemens has the details.
At $3.14 for a gallon of gasoline is 5 cents higher than last month and 95 cents higher than a year ago. Meanwhile, Patrick DeHaan of GasBuddy.com tells us gasoline consumption continues to increase.
Overall, though gas prices have decreased slightly in the last week, the trend may be short-lived. That, as U.S. gasoline demand surged to set a new 2021 record last week, rising 2.3% from the prior week to 3% above the four-week average.
The country's largest wildfire is up to more than 408,000 acres in southern Oregon. The bootleg fire is 46% contained. This is USA Radio News.
Get healthy, not high, with 100% pure CBD powerful natural pain relief from Veterans Vitality. GCN listeners, have you ever thought about how CBD may help you? I'm sure you have heard about the many benefits of CBD. Well, here's your opportunity to try before you buy. Created by veterans and for everyone who deserves better choices, our CBD is derived from organic hemp, grown in the USA, and third-party tested. Veterans Vitality CBD saves you as much as 25 to 50% over our competition, and a portion of all sales is contributed to veteran nonprofits and events. Many of our customers have experienced improved quality of life, help with anxiety, PTSD, and overall well-being. Our products do not contain THC. They are safe, non-addictive, effective, and 100% legal. GCN listeners, get your free trial bottle of premium CBD by simply paying shipping and handling at GCNFreeCBD.com. That's GCNFreeCBD.com. Again, GCNFreeCBD.com. Offered by Veterans Vitality Premium CBD.
Dr. Dolly, the show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DOLLY, 1-877-DOCDALI. So sadly, the next few weeks of headlines are going to probably have to do with city officials and public officials moving towards mandates. So the latest is New York City Mayor Bill de Blasio said he is requiring all New York City employees to be vaccinated. So whatever jurisdiction, I guess, you know, they that is under New York City, they all have to be vaccinated. Or they get tested once a week for COVID-19. The deadline for vaccination is September 13th. And so the city will step up its enforcement of its mask mandate for unvaccinated workers, threatening, quote, very tough consequences. This kills me because, you know, I understand how humans play a role, but we've been masking, we've been social distancing, the virus goes up and down anyway. But they want to look tough. They're looking tough. De Blasio also announced that New York City is pushing Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to deplatform the 12 individuals who one study alleged are the most prolific spreaders of the vaccine disinformation. He said that in a letter to Mark Zuckerberg and Jack Dorsey. He will convey that if you don't stop the lies, then you are complicit in the spread of COVID. So, de Blasio has avoided reinstating a universal mask mandate. There's been a lot of people that have been kind of fighting that. I think Los Angeles, Provincetown, Massachusetts have brought back masks. In Nevada, Southern Nevada, employees in public health venues have to wear a mask, not if you're in like a cubby or cubicle, and that's in Southern Nevada. I think it's St. Louis. Hi, why do I always get the hiccups on air? Man, that stinks. St. Louis, I think they reinstated the mask as well. So the mayor is instead focusing the efforts on vaccination. So he said on September 13th, the entire city workforce will be mandated under the COVID safety mandate to either get vaccinated, which is far preferable, or get tested once a week. This is about a recovery. This is about keeping people safe. So, you know, getting tested once a week is a fairly effective way of seeing if somebody going to work has COVID. But again, here's kind of the practicality and the consistent message. Vaccinated people can have COVID. Vaccinated people can test positive. The average vaccinated person isn't testing, so we don't know how much of a percent. But we are seeing some states where if somebody has symptoms, the breakthrough cases are getting caught. CDC, remember early on, said they weren't going to count the mild breakthrough case, or they weren't going to be logging because there was just too many. I think once they hit 10,000, they're like, look, we're just going to concentrate on the more severe. But the problem is that data is crucial when we're trying to look at who's spreading the virus. So if you are going to tell a person that they have to have, you know, something shoved up their nose every week, which I think after a while, you know, I mean, could be kind of traumatizing, especially if somebody goes too deep. But, you know, and you're saying that because we need to make sure you're not here with COVID. Okay, I see that you want to make sure they don't have COVID. But what about the vaccinated individual? They have COVID too. Well, that vaccinated person with COVID is going to be giving less viral load. Do we have that data? It's logical that a vaccinated person would spread it less, but unvaccinated people might not have a big viral load. So where's the consistency? Is it more of a punishment? See, I'm not for punishments. You really need to be consistent. So the mayor cited school returning in September. A lot of companies are bringing back employees to New York City and offices. Why September? Well, because that's when the unemployment extra benefits run out. Many residents leaving town from summer coming back for school. So September 13th is the first full day of school. Every single city employee will be expected to either be vaccinated or tested weekly. Now, he also announced that New York will step up its enforcement of its mask mandate for unvaccinated city employees. He said that it will include very tough consequences for unvaccinated people who he called a threat to transmit the virus. This is exactly the verbiage I did not want used. An unvaccinated person is considered a threat and is going to face tough consequences. This is very similar verbiage that we saw in the late 30s. Jews are a threat. I know people say, but you know, this is a COVID virus, and this is a virus. There's tons of viruses out there. There's tons of, you know, I get it sucks that we have the pandemic, and I would love everybody to get vaccinated. But I am not going to start alienating and isolating and threatening people. He said, let's be blunt. If you are a city employee and you're unvaccinated, you must wear a mask indoors at work. We will not tolerate any decision to do otherwise because this is about protecting people's health and well-being. Commissioner of Labor Relations, Renee Campion, said mask wearing for unvaccinated people will be a job requirement. They said we will expect employees to comply. If employees refuse to comply, they just cannot be at work, and in fact, they will not be paid. AFSCME, AFL-CIO District Council 37 is the largest public employee union in New York City. They pushed back against the mayor's vaccine or weekly testing requirement. They said if City Hall intends to test our members weekly, they must first meet us at the table to bargain. This is according to Executive Director Harry Garrido. While we encourage everyone to get vaccinated and support measures to ensure our members' health and well-being, weekly testing is clearly subject to mandatory bargaining. New York City is a union town, and that cannot be ignored. If people would like to remain unmasked at work, de Blasio said they need to immediately go get vaccinated. So outside of New York City, de Blasio encouraged private employers to go at least as far as the city in mandating vaccines or weekly testing, but he said it would be even better if employers who have a lot of freedom to set their own rules mandate vaccination without exception. So, you know, it was interesting. When I was at the Clark County Commissioners, or when I was listening in on the Clark County Commissioners meeting, that one for about 4 or 5 hours, a representative from the police force, who we've had on the show, had said, look, you know, you do want to be careful with the verbiage when you say, fine, if you don't want to get vaccinated, you could just leave. Because apparently 40% of our metro force is vaccinated. You tell 60% to just go, that can cripple a city. Even more when we're having such issues throughout the country with crime and not enough law enforcement officers. So this idea of, fine, then you don't have a job, I get why, you know, that's... I get why that verbiage is used, and I get why, you know, it might be logical on paper, but you have people out there that, you know others that have had side effects, or they live alone, or they, you know, don't have the money to go and get the side effect addressed. There's supposed to be funds for vaccine side effects, but a lot of people think that if they feel they have a side effect and they go to the hospital, that's going to be on them. There are so many reasons why people aren't vaccinating. And please, go to my Twitter, go to my Facebook. I will repost the survey. For those of you that are hesitant on vaccines, we listed a whole variety of reasons, plus a place for you to write why your name is not on there. We would really just love to show that this isn't about, you know, people being Republican or Democrat. This is people have some concerns, and that's why they might be hesitant. So I'm going to repost the survey link, but please go to my website. So the city's going to have to do something because they need to show that they're doing something. If not, they could get in trouble for doing nothing. And they're going to tick off less people, they believe, if they go for mandates. But there's some consistency issues here. 1-877-DOC-DELLY.
I am a non-attorney spokesperson representing a team of lawyers who've helped people that have been injured or wronged. Have you been diagnosed with cancer? Are you one of the millions who have taken Zantac or other generic versions of this popular drug to help treat stomach issues? Then pay close attention to this message. The FDA said it detected low levels of a probable cancer-causing chemical known as NDMA in Zantac and other generic forms of this popular drug. They've banned sales and even removed it from the market. If you've been diagnosed with cancer and you've taken Zantac or a generic equivalent, call the legal helpline now. You could receive a free cash award and have your medical expenses covered. And there's no upfront cost to you. They only get paid if you win. So please call now. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. 800-998-7173. That's 800-998-7173.
Hey guys, gals. Dr. Dahlia here. How many of you have just become single and it's been years since you've dated? Well, you need to be careful out there as there's a lot of pitfalls and scams. But there's also true love. So I recommend reading our Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. We'll give you the scoop on scammers, STDs, and what makes the best first date. Go to my website at drdahlia.com and click on the Baby Boomer's Guide to Online Dating. That's drdaliah.com. Hey, guys. Dr. Dahlia here. We love our drivers out there, and many of you are in need of renewing your CDL. Well, if you're in Southern Nevada, we've got the place for you. Your DOT physical can be done by calling 702-562-8800 and mention this ad. You'll get a discount. Easy, convenient hours to get you back on the road. So for your CDL DOT physical, call 702-562-8800 and drive safely.
Now with orders to stay at home, public health concerns, the reality of illness due to pathogens and viruses, your health is at an all-time high risk. That's why it's critical to take a proactive approach to boost your immune system. You can with new nano-colloidal silver from Americare. Our patented process with tiny silver particles, 1/100th the size of a red blood cell, allows for maximum body absorption. Americare's nano-colloidal silver effectively disinfects your body internally, attacking pathogens and viruses while supercharging your immune system. Colloidal silver is antibacterial and antiviral. Simply put, it prohibits bacterial respiration, suffocating viral cells, preventing the virus from replicating. And now, due to public health concern, Americare is authorized to offer our lowest and best price ever, around $1 a day, but supplies are limited. Purchase nanocolloidal silver now at immunesupportnow.com. That's immunesupportnow.com. These statements have not been evaluated by the Food and Drug Administration. This product is not intended to diagnose, treat, cure, or prevent any disease. Supplies are limited.
As Dr. Wallach says, we all have nutrient deficiencies in our diets and must supplement with 90 essential nutrients in proper balances. At no cost or obligation, get a personal certified holistic health coach to help you develop a supplement program based on Dr. Wallach's recommendations. Call Linda at 833-VITAL-90. That number to call is 833-848-2590. That's 833-VITAL-90.
Hi, this is Dr. Joel Wallach, the Mineral Doctor. You've heard me talk about 90 for life for years. 60 minerals, 16 vitamins, 12 amino acids, 2 fatty acids. You may not know this, that I've actually designed Arthrodex for animals. That's right. Your pets need 90 for life, too. Get this essential pet product by calling 877-279-9422. That's 877-279-9422. Again, 877-279-9422.
Hi, I'm Dr. Joel Wallach, the Dead Doctors Don't Lie guy. There's no reason why you shouldn't live to be at least 100 and have a great time getting there. And I'm going to give you a free copy of my lecture that tells you exactly how to do it. In fact, after you've lived a long and healthy life, there should be only two documents in your medical chart, a birth certificate and a death certificate. I'm Dr. Wallach with a warning. If you have a 4-inch medical chart, if you take prescription drugs for high cholesterol, high blood pressure, arthritis, joint pains, and other health issues, the medical profession is failing you. They're using you for an ATM machine. My free lecture is going to reveal what pharmaceutical companies don't want you to know. There's been groundbreaking research and discoveries on how to effectively treat or eliminate over 900 different diseases naturally. It's all in my free lecture called Deadly Recipe. So call toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. Again, that's toll-free 1-855-79-YOUNG. 1-855-79-YOUNG.
Show. Thank you all for tuning in. 1-877-DOC-DALI, 1-877-DOCDALI. Don't forget to follow us on Twitter at Dr. Dahlia and on Facebook, the Dr. Dahlia Show. So there's a viral video that's going around where a little doggy falls into a pool. And I guess the parents are inside of the doggy. And the little doggy falls in the, I think a lot of dogs drink from the swimming pool. I have a cat that goes outside to the pool. Even when it rains, it's an old cat. And so she goes outside. And for some reason, she loves water. And I don't understand that because most animals hate water. So she might be getting dementia. I don't know. But she's fallen into the pool. Because they, I guess maybe they want to drink from the water. Even though there's plenty of water, they just maybe are too lazy to go back inside the house. So the dog, all you see in the video is the dog fall into the steps in the shallow area. Well, rather than the dog know to go back from where it came, it starts to swim out. So it starts to panic, and it goes to the side, and it can't pull itself up because it can't put its feet up. So a few moments later, a bigger dog, his buddy or brother, comes over. I think it's a chocolate lab, not sure, and tries to help pull that dog up and grabs it by its ear, can't do it. So then the dog, the big dog, tries to get the little baby dog to go over to where there are steps. The dog starts to swim in the deeper area. Then the dog starts to go back to another area. And the big dog is barking. Parents aren't around because they're either indoors or they're out. And the baby dog is about to drown. So luckily, the big dog is able to kind of coax the dog, be there. The dog starts to go under, starts getting exhausted. Big dog grabs and pulls him out. Little baby dog is saved. And you're like, okay, awesome. Now, I think my cats would watch my dog just drown and go, can you hurry this up? We need to eat. I don't know if my cats would help the dog, but we only have one dog. But the dogs jump into the pool. The dogs, you know, dogs do that. And cats do that too. Cats, you know, fall in. So, you know, we've spoken about childhood drownings, of course, on the show, because sadly we have thousands of kids die, you know, due to drownings each year. But pets too. Thousands of pets die due to drownings, and a lot of those aren't reported because people might just bury their pet, and they might not want people to know, so they're not going to report it, you know, because they're embarrassed. And it's something that has to be made known. I mean, we know animals fall into the pool. So I thought we should just quickly talk about it. And we'll also talk about pediatric drowning as well. According to the CDC, 20% of drowning victims are under the age of 14. The leading cause of death in children is unintentional injuries. That also includes drowning accidents. And let's say a child makes it, they could still suffer brain damage, lung damage, a whole variety of long-term disability. So pools, bathtubs, little kiddie pools, all of these are at high risk and are risky areas for kids to fall in. And another thing that also I find a concern is, when there's a barbecue and everybody's outside, there's a risk there because they might be drinking and distracted and the kids are in the pool. But another big issue is it's hot outside, so everybody's indoors, and they don't realize that the kid or the pet could be in the backyard. So that's why, first and foremost, you got to enclose. You have to enclose the fence. Most people recommend at least a 4 to 5 foot high fence. Entry gate should self-close and self-latch, not be one of those things where it just sits there open, okay? If your pool has a fence, still, you got to be aware who's at the house. Also realize that your kid might sleep over somewhere, and that may not have a fence. Not everybody has a good fence. You might have the fence, but keep in mind if your kid goes over somewhere for a play date. All young children need to be within arm's reach of an adult. So when your kids are in the pool, many of the adults are over there by the bar or the barbecue. No. You know, somebody needs to be in the pool. A grown-up needs to be actually in the pool. There has to be people maybe sunbathing along the cool deck next to that pool. But you guys can't be far away and say, yeah, the kids are in the pool, we're watching them. Uh-uh. Because the other thing, too, also is when a kid is drowning, you don't hear anything. It's quiet. So you're thinking there's going to be that music like you hear from Jaws or that it's quiet. You won't hear your child. If you're at a beach, you need to be out there in the water with your kid. Make sure you're not by any riptides. Don't have the dog and the kid swim at the same time in the pool. Everybody likes to throw the kid in the pool and the dog. And then they take pictures like, oh, this is so cute. The dog might panic and the dog will scratch. And that dog could scratch your kid and that dog might climb onto your kid for safety. Do not have pets and kids swim at the same time. Not enough people talk about that. And then not enough people put their kids in swim lessons. So my husband was big on that because he's a water polo player. So my first son, Stone, he got him in water wings and a swim class. We got him swim tutors. He did not like giving up his floaties. He had SpongeBob SquarePants floaties. Or Barney floaties, Blue's Clues floaties. Yeah, Blue's Clues. He did not want to give up those floaties, and he was mad or whatever. And so training Stone to swim took a lot longer. Okay, and Corey's job, Daddy's job was to train Stone. So when Brock, my younger one, came and said, I got this. I'm going to teach Brock. And Corey's like, can you do that? I go, watch me. I had him trained in like 3 days. Because what I would do is we had this deck area, this like sitting area underwater. And so I would go with him and I would just throw him. I would be in the pool and I'm like, you can either swim to mama or you could swim to the deck. And he'd be so mad at me that I threw him in that he's like swimming away from me, and then he swam to the deck. And he only swam with one arm. He had like a Nemo fin. He wouldn't use both arms, so we called him Nemo Fishy. And I got him to swim in about 3 days. Meanwhile, and it just took forever. But then both of them became really, really good swimmers. They were part of Sandpipers, which, by the way, some Sandpiper people made it to the Olympics. So they're very cool. But anyway, teach your pet how to swim. There are trainers that could work with your pet. Teach your pets. Teach your kids how to swim. My husband's really good with that. He trains all our dogs to know how to swim. Because they need to learn where the steps are. You need to train them to go to the steps. Don't get distracted. When you're by the pool, no phones, no social media. Don't be drinking alcohol. Anytime there's quiet, something's going on. For those of you who are parents, whenever it's quiet, you're like, well, something. The normal is when you hear them laughing and screaming and, you know, cussing and all that. But when it's quiet, I'm like, what's wrong? That's when you got to check. In terms of CPR, I posted this. This is on my Facebook and it's on my Twitter. How to do CPR on a kid, how to do CPR on a pet. Honestly, get yourselves trained. Get yourselves certified for CPR. No parent, no person should not have that training in first aid, basic life support, CPR. In terms of a pet, check for breathing on a pulse, just like a kid. Call 911. You can start compressions. With the dog, lay the animal on the right side. Place hands over the ribs where its elbow touches the chest. Begin compressions. Also look for, you know, if the pupils are dilated, gums or lip will appear gray. If they're not breathing, you might have to do mouth-to-mouth on your cats and dogs. With humans, we've started to limit the mouth-to-mouth and say just do the chest compressions. But you can do, you know, respirations as long as you're not putting off or postponing chest compressions. So for cats and small dogs, you can place your mouth over their nose and mouth and blow air in. For medium-sized dogs, you may just have to place your mouth over their nose. So you're going to be going through their nose. It's not going to be over their mouth. And you got to be careful because you don't want them to bite your face. I would just do the chest compressions if you're just not sure what's going on. And with an under 30-pound dog, you want to go about a half inch to an inch, 30 to 90 pounds, 1 to 3 inches, over 90 pounds, 1 to 3 inches. Get a life jacket for your kids and dogs when you're at the beach, when you're boating. Dogs could get a life jacket too. Okay, we're going to later talk about dry drowning and secondary drowning, but those are just some basic tips to keep your dogs and kids safe. 1-877-DOC-BELLY.
Jake was in big trouble with the IRS. He owed how much?
$92,000.
Ouch. The IRS left no room for Jake to breathe.
They put a lien on my house, took all the money out of my bank account, took money out of my paychecks. So it was a nightmare.
He needed help fast.
I figured that all these companies were the same until I called Federal Tax Management. You could just tell they knew what they were talking about. Right then and there, I felt like I had some hope.
Stop the liens, levies, and garnishments fast and qualify for one of several special IRS programs that could reduce or even eliminate your tax debt. So, how'd it go for Jake?
They did what they said they would do. They came through for me. I ended up saving an unbelievable amount. I was so jazzed. I was extremely happy.
If you owe more than $10,000 in back taxes, take Jake's advice.
Give Federal Tax Management a phone call. If they help me, they can help anybody.
Call the Federal Tax Management Hotline now. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625. 800-503-8625.
Is your child defiant, independent, annoyingly inquisitive? After a long, hard day of following the rules, who wants to deal with troublesome kids? 49% of children suffer from oppositional defiant disorder, or ODD. Symptoms of ODD include independent thought, rampant creativity, and failure to submit to authority. But now there's a solution. The good people at Pilfer can help you with their time-release, once-daily capsule, Compliacin. Your child won't be able to form his own opinions, let alone express them. It maintains your child's ability to go to a state-run school and perform simple tasks around the house. You won't have to worry about parenting, and the school won't have to deal with your kid asking questions. Compliacin. You'll go from this.
Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do! Quit telling me what to do!
To this.
Good morning, Mother. I love going to school. And this week we're learning all about how the government is our federal family and they're here to help us.
Compliacin. Talk to your school psychiatrist and ask for it by name.